You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter, also a writer over at bourbonstreetshots.com, where we've got a lot of great stuff up there for you right now, including a primer on the 8th seed in the Western Conference, breaking down some of the win-loss records, the offensive ratings, the defensive ratings, who's played well over the past 10 games, since Holiday's come back, and since the start of the season. It was written by Graham McQueen, and a good breakdown of everyone so far, not just giving you kind of their one-loss records of the entire season, which is a bit out of context. You got to look at more recent history to see how this team's been doing. I'll touch on that a little bit today, and also going to touch on this edition of Locked On Pelicans. We're happy again. It's so nice. Wins fix everything. Also, waking up, yesterday morning being one game back of the eighth seed, despite that Brooklyn loss and everything, one game back, Pels have a chance. Definitely cures some of the problems. Only a good thing. I want to talk about some D-League. We've heard a lot about it these past couple of days, the past week or so. What it means potentially for the Pelicans, where they fit into this big picture. And then I'll preview the game tonight. They do take on the Oklahoma City Thunder and Russell Westbrook in the Smoothie King Center at 7 o'clock. So it'll be a fun edition of Locked On Pelicans here, going all over the place with different topics. So we'll jump right into it. Don't forget, Locked On Pelicans is available on Audioboom, iTunes, Stitcher, wherever podcasts are, you can find it. So make sure you subscribe to it so that you get the episode the second it comes out, usually 6 a.m. Sometimes, it gets a little bit late, or sometimes I'll just jump the gun and post it earlier. But I want to make sure that, you get it when it comes out so you're hearing it right away, because sometimes it's time-sensitive information, especially when we do the game recaps and previews. You want to know what happened right then and there. Best way to do that is to subscribe. Also, if your company is interested in advertising to men between the ages of 18 to 54, then your company could be advertised right here on Locked On Pelicans. Our audience is 97% men. Come on. All of you listeners know this. I think the biggest surprise is that it's like 3% women. And 79% of our audience is between the ages 18 to 44. Ideal demographics for any business. Recent surveys have shown that podcast listeners are 65% more willing to consider purchasing products they learned about from podcasts, and 60% given equal price and quality prefer to purchase from companies that advertise on their favorite podcasts. The rates are really reasonable. You guys have heard me done some of the live reads on here. They can be tied into the show, however. So if anyone's interested, email me. It's jake@bourbonstreetshots.com, S-T, bourbonstshots.com. And I can get you in touch with the right people for that as well. And the D-League. So a lot of has come out over the past couple of days about various D-League affiliates potentially expanding the D-League to more teams. And one name that's kind of been left out is the New Orleans Pelicans. And it's a bit interesting. In the D-League's become a whole lot more popular. And with the news that came out yesterday that Minnesota has bought the Iowa team, they are going to be the 18th team in the NBA that owns a franchise. The Magic recently moved or bought one and is moving it to near them in Orlando. The Jazz are relocating, I think it's Idaho, to be in Salt Lake City as well. And so a lot of teams are getting these D-League affiliates to send some of their guys to have other guys on the roster kind of in a weird way. They don't count towards the actual roster limit, and they're not under contract to the team. But, it's a good option to take some of the younger guys that these teams have, send them down, get some experience, and get them right back to the parent club. Distance is kind of the key to this. You think, hey, throw it. So right now the Pelicans, I'm jumping all over the place. My mind's a little jumbled here. The Pelicans D-League affiliate is the Austin Spurs, which is owned by the San Antonio Spurs, so the Pels can send people to there. But they don't control it. They don't own, pay the coaches. They don't have the contracts for the coaches. And you send a guy there, you're going to send him. When Cheick Diallo's been there, he's gone with a player development coach from the Pelicans. But it's still not running the same system the Pels run. not necessarily getting coached the way they'd want him to be coached, though it's the Spurs. Maybe you could say you want him coached from them more than you want him coached from the Pelicans. And, you know, it's different. And it's also far. You can't get him to Austin and then come right back the next day to play a game for the Pelicans or for practice. If he's going there, he's kind of got to stay there a little bit. And that's why you saw them when they were in New York and Jersey playing those games. They signed him to a D-League team out there right away. He played and came right back to the team. That's ideally how it's used. So it's interesting once you look at the distance between the parent clubs and the affiliates. This season, the average distance between the teams, the, again, parent club and the affiliate, is 180 miles. Lowest it's ever been for a D-League and NBA club affiliate in its entire career. At one point, just 5 years ago, it was more than 560 miles. And that close proximity allows you to send a guy down to play a game, get minutes on a team that the parent club, in this case the Pelicans, would own, and play in the style of system that the parent club plays. So transition, fast, switching on defense, exactly, you know, the Pelicans' hallmarks. And then they can come back and practice with the team the very next day. Play a game on Monday, come back for a Tuesday practice, be available for a Wednesday game for the Pelicans, go back to the D-League on Thursday and play there. It's a great thing. It's going to help someone like Cheick Diallo develop, especially a raw prospect. And, you know, think about it. One of the reasons they haven't sent him back down to the D-League right now is they want him in practice. They want him there to run with the second unit in practice to learn the system, to learn the offense. He's not doing that if he's in Austin. Yeah, he's going to develop and he's getting playing time, but sometimes maybe it's more important just to practice and go through things and shoot jumpers after. That can be more important than playing in an actual game. But what if you can get the best of both worlds? And, you know, that's what they want to do. And you see this, you know, like I said, the Jazz are moving their D-League affiliate to Salt Lake City. And I'm going to mention something with the Jazz that I didn't mention in the open just yet. That was an interesting announcement I think they had yesterday or the day before. But it's a good setup for the Pelicans. Now, the question is, will they do it? And it's something they've wanted to do. And the last time there's really been a comment from anyone regarding this really was yesterday. They asked Alvin Gentry before the game, but really you're more interested in what Del Demps has to say about it and ownership has to say about it. They've been kind of quiet on the matter. They haven't really spoken about it since 2015 when they said, yeah, they want to have a D-League affiliate. Problem is that costs money, and you got to worry about this team not having the budget for it, or and likely a D-League affiliate is going to lose money for it. So, little bit disappointed that they haven't mentioned anything yet, and that you have to figure, though there's going to be 18 of these now, they're going to be one of the teams that likely is, you know, going to be one of the final ones to get a D-League affiliate when the NBA steps in, probably just forces this to happen. Then you've got a plethora of options of where to put it to make this kind of proximity thing work. Lafayette's an obvious location. Biloxi would be an obvious location. Gulfport would be an obvious location. So there's a few that would very easily work that are close proximity and, you know, are about an hour flight away or less, or a 2-3 hour drive, which works too. So, and it'd be nice. There's no team like that in the Gulf South region. And it's a way just to spread basketball and the Pelicans brand a little bit more. And it would be a nice thing to see. You know, there's definite benefits to this, and it's something the Pelicans have talked about in the past, but you've got to wonder if it's on the back burner right now for them. So I mentioned the Jazz, and I want to say this and touch on it briefly as we talk about, you know, ownership, and this is the decision they would need to make. One of the bigger things that happened the other day was the Jazz announced they're moving the team from like private ownership owned by that family, I think it's the Miller family, to a trust that's run by members of the family, but that kind of takes the ownership stake out of it. All of the profits of the trust are going to be reinvested back into the trust, in this case, the team. So they're essentially becoming you know, a non-profit entity, as in no one's going to benefit from the money that they're making other than the team itself. And this basically means this team's not leaving Salt Lake City anytime soon. Why sell the team if the profits of that sale don't get put in your hands, in your pockets, in your bank account, but instead are put back into the team? There, it makes no sense to sell it. The people selling it or approving the sale have nothing to gain. So there's no reason that they would do this. Be nice. Obviously, this would be a wonderful thing for the Pelicans or any sports team to do. It, you know, that's a real commitment to the community and the city that you're in, and saying this team's not leaving. Any money you spend on this team is going to be used to make it better. Really cool, cool idea. And with the, we're still trying to figure out what's going on with ownership of the Saints and Pelicans. Benson, you know, you've heard all the stories, the whole situation with his grandchildren and his son and daughter, or sons and daughter, I forget exactly the family tree here. But it looks bad. It seems like there's no stability up at the top. And then the Jazz, also a small market team, go and give themselves kind of the ultimate stability. And it just shows you the contrast in a well-run team versus not a well-run team. And I talked with Scott Kushner, writer for The Advocate, before a game one time, and he was telling me, you know, he would love it if ever there was a time when someone just woke up one day within that organization and thought, what's best for the Pelicans, and put that ahead of what's best for the Saints. And it doesn't seem like that's the case. And when you don't have that stability up top, it kind of permeates down through the organization. And I think people have seen this. When was the last time you heard Del Demps say anything? No one really, you know, has a lot of trust in this team, in him, to put the long-term health of the franchise ahead of his own short-term job, you know, situation. So the quietness there bothers people, and this stems obviously from the summer when he didn't give the postseason interview, and then there was questions about his job security, and then he came out and said, well, there was nothing to talk about. There's plenty to talk about. It was just a very odd situation. But nice to see a small market team do something that you'd like to see others emulate. But let's move on to the game tonight, the Oklahoma City Thunder and Russell Westbrook, the potential MVP he is an MVP candidate, potential MVP of the league. It's probably a two-man race between him and James Harden. But Westbrook averaging a triple-double, putting up insane, insane numbers. You know, it's kind of on that screw you world tour after Kevin Durant left and wanting to show why this would have been a better place for him, show him that he is a legit superstar and kind of stick it to his former teammate. It's always fun to have one of those pissed off guys in the league that's just trying, you know, he's playing like with a boulder on his shoulder, not just a chip, even though he's already one of the best players in the league. And he still gets even more angry and manages to motivate himself. It's a fun thing to see. He's playing out of his mind. Obviously, he's lit up the Pelicans a lot over the past couple of seasons. I mean, especially when perimeter defense was, you know, their problem, and it still is a problem. He could just get to the rim at will, and you have to figure that's going to be a similar thing tonight. But the Pels actually kind of gave you a blueprint in their win over the Cavs on how they could win this one. And that's let Russell Westbrook do his thing. He's going to score. Just slow him down a little bit if you can, but don't let him get other teammates going. Kyrie Irving put up 49 points. No one else did that much damage otherwise. That's how they won that game. Let Russell Westbrook do his thing and clamp down on other guys. Don't let Oladipo be open to shoot threes. Don't let Kanter have an easy life on the low block. He's been playing particularly well offensively. Steven Adams can still score and play defense. You know, they have a lot of guys that are good on this team. Clamped on Anthony Marjo when he's on the court, former Hornet. That guy can hit some threes. You don't want to get beat by those guys. If Westbrook does it single-handedly by himself and you lose, okay, whatever. He did it. He carried the team. You know, he hit the game winner the other night against the Jazz. But you don't want to get beat by Victor Oladipo or Steven Adams, you know, or Enes Kanter. That's not what you want at all here. So kind of just key off of him. Obviously, they're going to try and force switches, get Russell Westbrook onto a have a big defending him. I don't know if the Pelicans want to go with their normal switching defense in this matchup. The second you get someone you know, like Anthony Davis, who, by the way, said he should be playing. He practiced yesterday. It sounds like he'll be good to go for the game. You got to figure they've got a lot of confidence, too, and don't want him sitting out. But if he gets switched on to Davis, he's going to blow by Davis. You got to try and keep Hill or Cunningham on him on the switches, because they at least have that lateral side-to-side movement and are fast enough while still also being taller, having the height advantage and being strong, that they might be able to defend him a little bit. That's going to kind of be the key to slowing him down. I don't know if the Pels are going to be put in a good situation to do that. But with Davis at the five, it'll just depend a little bit. At least you have a more flexible, faster, quicker small ball lineup when you've got Cunningham at the three and Solomon Hill at the four. Let the other guys beat you. Don't let them beat you is what I mean. Let them try and get their shots, but defend them well. If Oladipo's taking contested threes all game, you're going to be happy. And take advantage when Russell Westbrook sits. When he sits down, that team's not nearly as good. Obviously, but Oladipo shoots worse, I think. I believe Cantor shoots worse as well. So when he's off the court, you've got to make sure you're winning. So you're going to need to see bench points. You're going to need to see positive plus minuses in the time Westbrook's off. They can do that. They can win this, actually. I have a little bit of more renewed confidence in the team. And again, maybe I'm a slave to the moment here, but, you know, there's a chance. So that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Pelicans. Enjoy the game tonight, 7 o'clock in the Smoothie King Center. Always fun to see these great players come to the city of New Orleans and play basketball. Even if the Pelicans aren't expected to win, or even if Anthony Davis isn't playing. I had a lot of friends who went to the game on Monday, said just to watch LeBron. Sometimes that's worth the price of admission alone. But hey, weirder things have happened than the Pelicans being able to beat the Thunder at home. Look at Monday. Also, I guess look at Friday, too, but mainly Monday. You know, they could go out and surprise everyone, especially if they play like they did. So it should be a good game no matter what. It'll be nice to see Davis back on the court. So enjoy the game, everybody, and I'll be back with you guys tomorrow.
Napa know-how. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.